We're in our final shiur together on Parshat Vayitze. All the way from the beginning, at the end of even Parshat Toldot, we talked about the two sides of Yaakov Avinu's leaving Eretz Yisrael and going out to Haran. We talked about the essence of reasons versus purpose, how when anything happens in life, very often we get caught up in the reasons. Why did this happen to me? And so often we need to, not so often, we always need to always be looking at the other side of the coin, which is the purpose. For what purpose? What am I meant to accomplish by going out? How though in Parsha Toldot we gave one perspective on perhaps where the need for Yaakov's exile came from, certainly on a pshat level there doesn't seem to be anything that Yaakov even did that would be deserving of going out to Galut, in which case there are certain things that he needs to go out and to accomplish in Galut. He's going out into the Parsha that is indicative of what Galut and exile is about. Right, we talked about how many paragraphs does this parsha break down into? We spoke about this 3 shiurim ago. How many paragraphs does this parsha break into?
One.
There are no breaks in the parsha. In which case, it's all one inyan. It's all one topic, and that topic is the parsha itself gives us the indication of what the topic of the entirety of that paragraph or the parsha is, which is what word? Vayitze. It's the parsha of going out. It's the parsha of yitzi'ah l'galut, of going out to galut, and that there is a purpose of what which is meant to be accomplished in the context of galut. And in our shiurim, we've talked about the visions of Yaakov Avinu and the beginnings of the road to establishing a reality of geula. The connectivity between the neshama and the guf, the unity that's established by Beit HaMikdash and bringing together Shemayim V'aretz, the development of the building blocks of Klal Yisrael through the context of the establishment of the Shvatim, who are going to be those avanim and bringing about those av-bein relationships, and even the struggles that Galut is going to produce through the intervention of Lavan. Last time we talked about how he's La'akor et HaKol, trying to undermine the totality of Klal Yisrael by planting discord within the genes, the fabric of Klal Yisrael itself, within the context of Yaakov and his wives, the paradigm, as the phrase my Rebbe would use, Yisrael par excellence, or the paradigmatic Yisrael, Yisrael Saba, and Yaakov Avinu, to be established through his children and then in B'nai Yisrael themselves throughout the generations. That's what we've kind of come to so far. And I want to wrap up and bring together the last part of the Parsha that we're going to discuss within that framework to bring Vayitze to a close for our discussions. And that is that we haven't really gone all the way through the end of the Parsha. We've talked about the dream of Yaakov. We've talked about him finding Rachel and then meeting Lavan and then working for Rachel but really gets Leah and then gets Rachel and then having children. There's a whole nother large chunk of the Parsha that still takes place after that. If you open up in your Chumashim, take a look inside Parsha Vayitze. Those of you who are still negligent in bringing Chumashim, reach back in your minds to Parsha Vayitze. We even mentioned it yesterday in terms of the flow of Parsha Vayitze. Coming around? Awesome. Wow, that's chesed. That's chesed. Should be stated on the record. Did he give away her chumash and go to the chaver to somebody else's chumash?
Thank you.
There you go. What happens after these? Clearly he's going out, we talked about establishing in order to find his family, find his wives, produce his children. What's the other huge chunk of the Parsha that's happening in the context of Galut? Of the Galut of Yaakov?
What's the question again? Sorry.
We're in Parsha Vayitze. We've gone through that Yaakov has gone out into Galut in order to, for the purpose of, not just reasons, purpose, for the purpose of building a family, finding his wives, establishing his children, establishing the Shvatim. But that's not where the story of Galut ends. What happens next? What is he still doing in the context of Galut throughout the rest of the Parsha? Good. Were you going to say the same thing? The thing with the sheep.
Is that well said?
It is well said. We're actually going to whittle it down a little bit more simply. But there's the whole story with the spotted and the speckled sheep. where, let's even take a look in the Pesukim inside. Take a look in the two Chumashim that are in the room. In the beginning of Elif Pasterek Lamed. Not in the middle, the middle of Perek Lamed. Take a look at Perek Lamed Pasuk Chav Dalet. I'll read it inside. Perek Lamed Pasuk Chav Dalet. Vayika Asher Yalda Rachel at Yosef. Once Rachel had Yosef, the final of the Shvatim that would be born in the context of Galut, to the exclusion of Binyamin, who's going to be born in Eretz Israel for whatever reason. So after they have Yosef, Vayomer Yaakov Alavan, Yaakov Zalavan, Shalcheini, let me go. Ve'elcha el mikomi ule'artzi. I've done, I've fulfilled my purpose in Golus, it's time to go home. Tzna et nashai ve'et yiladai, give me my wives and my children, asher avarti it otcha bahem ve'elecha, which I worked for you for, and I will go. Ki ata yadata et avorati asher avarticha. Because you know the work that I have done for you. Response. Vayomer elav Lavan. Lavan says, Im namat atichin be'enecha, if I found favor in your eyes, nichashti v'yivarcheni Hashem b'gvalecha. I have learned through divination that Hashem has blessed me on account of you. I don't know why he needed to use sorcery in order to do that. Clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had brought him bracha during those years because of Yaakov's presence. And therefore he says, Vayomar nakvat scharcha alai ve'etena. Therefore he says, specify your wage to me and I will give it. Lavan says, stay because I want you to continue to work for me. Tell me how much it's going to, how much you cost to stick around, and I will give it to you. And Yaakov heeds Lavan's request and stays. And we get the whole story of how that transaction is going to take place. He's going to handle his flocks. In response to handling his flocks, he'll either get the speckled sheep or the spotted sheep. And then there's this whole fascinating process of putting the staves in the water with the stripes. They're peeled off and to produce spotted sheep or speckled sheep or striped sheep. And no matter what Lavan tries, Yaakov manages to walk away with the majority of his flock every single year. First of all, parentheses, I don't know where else we would put this, but something interesting to think about. In the last pasuk that we read, how does, this is totally irrelevant to our shiur, but very relevant to the midrashah. What is the last pasuk that we read? How does Lavan say, specify for me your wage? Louder. What was the first word you just said?
Nakva.
How do you pronounce that? How do you spell that?
Like
Nikeva. Very interestingly. To specify one's wage, what's the connection between Nakva, to specify the wage, and Nikeva, one of the words for femininity, or to be female, for a woman? Totally parentheses, but for the Mitra Shah, very important. A little bit of food for thought. You can all unpack it on your own. But this is one of the sources that is quoted in terms of the balance between Zachar and Nikeva, that somehow the explosion of infinite potential stands within the context of the Zachar, and in the classic role of a traditional Jewish framework for marriage and the relationship between the two, it's actually the wife who, on the simplest biological level, but then one needs to extrapolate to more metaphysical levels, is the one that draws from that infinite spark of potential, which has no way to sustain itself for more than an instant, and to draw forth one aspect of that, limit it, create it finite, to draw only one forth, to specify it, to define it, and then to actually give it form, and through that, life is produced. That's on the simplest biological, physical level. But certainly a lot of food for thought in terms of what that is meant to mean in terms of the balance of a relationship metaphysically as well. Stemming from, again, one aspect of femininity, stemming from this word, nakva, or nekeva, which is somehow to be more concrete, more realistic, manifesting things in the world in their finite, practical, defined realities, as opposed to the often, generally, very unrealistic dreams or ideas that the masculine side tends to have. Again, not limited. There are no exceptions. There are always exceptions to the rules, but that it's an interesting thing that comes out from that very pasuk. But let's come back to our inyan. So he says to come and to specify that wage, and he's going to go, and we get into the whole spotted and speckled sheep. Now let's move away from sheep. What's a more broad way to say what is Yaakov accomplishing in the context of galut as he stays beyond sheep? More broad term. What'd you say?
Wealth.
He's not inheriting it. He's working for it. He will give it as inheritance to his children, but he's working for it, and he's amassing wealth. He's drawing forth wealth, monetary wealth from galut, monetary wealth from the house of Lavan. So what is this concept of amassing wealth in galus? Now, this isn't the first time we've seen such a thing. Where else have we seen this already, even in Chumash? Good. Yitzchak goes out to Avimelech. He digs wells. In fact, there's a whole machloket over the wells because there's so much monetary wealth connected to those wells, which is even emphasized at the end of the story, how rich Yitzchak becomes at the end of that story through the digging of those wells. Who else? Yeah. Avram Mitzrayim. So first of all, Avram also goes to Grar and also has interaction with Avimelech and also walks out with wealth, but certainly he goes to Mitzrayim. And when he goes down to Mitzrayim, he's sent out with tremendous wealth from Paro when he leaves Mitzrayim at the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha. On the flip side, where else do we see this? We see it in Shemot. In what case in Shemot? Ma'asev otzimah. We just talked about Abraham and Mitzrayim, so B'nai Yisrael in the context of Mitzrayim. They go out with tremendous wealth. So much so, I didn't see from where my Rebbe quoted it. I don't remember if it was, I assume it was from a Chazal. My Rebbe quoted that the wealth that they amassed in Mitzrayim was the basis of their economy all the way through the desert, Kibush Haaretz, Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Malachim, all the way through the times of Shmuel and Bayit Rishon. The riches of Egypt. I mean, the Midrashim that talk about how in Makat Choshech they went and saw all of the hidden places that Mitzrayim had, all of their wealth. And then when they were leaving, they said, "We would like our wages now, please." And they were like, "We don't have anything." And they said, "Wait, if you check under that rug or behind that picture frame, I'm pretty sure you've got a safe there." And they walked out with everything. And whatever they didn't walk out with, what where did they get whatever they didn't walk out with? Kriyat Yamsuf, it wipes out all of the rest of Mitzrayim, and it's all of the gold and all of the jewels that were on the Mitzrayim and on the horses and on the chariots, washes up onto the sea. Becomes the basis of their economy. Relevant for our Parshiot that we're actually reading in the Seder HaParshiot right now. I've always found it fascinating. It's like, because we're so used to the Parsha cycle, and we lose sight of my favorite word and the bumper sticker of the Midrash. We lose sight of the narrative of Sefer Shmot. Very good, Lisa, we've learned something together. We don't know Parsha, but we know narrative. Good. Right? The narrative of Sefer Shmot. Right? There's so many beautiful Torahs at the beginning of, they're in the Parsha of Truman Tetzava, the beginning of the Parsha of building the Mishkan. Right? From whatever your heart motivates you, give a donation to build the Mishkan. And I'm sure you've heard all of the beautiful Torahs about that it had to be that they really wanted to give it and of their own free will and there was no required amount, etc., etc. Are you familiar with these ideas? To me, what's always crazy about that is, now stop for a second. In the context of our conversation where we're establishing the narrative, it seems obvious, but we never think about this. Where did the wealth come from? What wealth? Where did it come from? Where did the gold and the silver and the copper and the linen and all of, where did it all come from? Mitzrayim. They worked for it in Mitzrayim, but it's not like they went out and they were working in a day job in order to make this money and they had to actually give them a trip. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally washed it on the shore for them. Can you imagine even thinking to yourself the struggle of, as I sit here in the desert, Do I give this useless piece of gold to the Mishkan, or do I keep it in order to make my tent more ornate for all to see in the middle of this empty wilderness? Like, it's a wild thing to remember they didn't own any of that. God literally handed it over to them. And then that became the basis of what they were meant to find in themselves to give, and the Mishkan was built from the ruins of Mitzrayim. In my mind, that always strikes me every year as I go through the Parshiyot. But when we leave Mitzrayim, we also walk out Baruch Hosh Gadol. And sets the paradigm, by the way, for generation after generation. Complaints and anti-Semitic rhetoric and anger from every single place where Jews come is that we come in, we establish a society, we become very rich in the context of that society, we amass a tremendous amount of wealth, and then we move somewhere else and take it with us. And it's true, it happens all the time. This is a pattern that definitely continues throughout history. What's the concept? What's the inyan? What's being brought out here? That so much of this parsha is dedicated to an exploration of not just Yaakov going and producing a family in Galut, but Yaakov drawing forth monetary wealth in the context of Galut, and as a maaseh avot siman lebanim for Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, which Avram already said is a maaseh avot siman lebanim, and for many future generations in so many different contexts, what is being brought out here? So let's dig all the way back, well pun intended, let's dig all the way back to the beginning of Sefer Bereishit. We talked about how our paradigm was that coming out of Gan Eden, we have a reality of Tov and Ra. And we've discussed many times and emphasized since we came back this semester many times that the first half of Sefer Bereishit is concerned with selecting a way. First, we're sifting through the sands of history to find the pearl in the sand that is Abraham. We're selecting away all of the branches of human history, first to find Noah, then through Shem to eventually find Avraham Avinu. Then we're selecting within Avraham Avinu, and we're selecting away Ishmael and the B'nai Keturah, and then we move on to Yitzchak, and we're selecting away Esav and getting to Yaakov. It's selecting away. And there's definitely an importance in getting to, selecting away, the constant emphasis that we've had on selecting away and getting to what's at the center. But the process in a post-Eitz Hada'at Tov Vara world is not just selecting away the Ra to find the Tov. Part of the reality of the history of Klal Yisrael, as is clearly emphasized here, is to be going throughout the world and to be selecting from the world, bringing elements back into Klal Yisrael. Being mivarer the Tov, being mivarer that which is in the context of exile, and drawing the necessary elements back into the context of Klal Yisrael. A whole nother floor to what Galut is meant to accomplish. The drawing back of key, important elements into the context of Klal Yisrael. We see this in the sense of Yitzchak through Eliezer going out to Charan the first time and drawing forth whom?
Rivka.
Excellent, Rivka. We see that now with Yaakov drawing forth from the context of Galut, Rachel and Leah, and through that, 11 out of his 12 children, and the Shvatim. And there's another dramatic key moment in the context of the history of Klal Yisrael, where we once again go beyond our borders in order to draw forth a critical element in the development of Klal Yisrael from Galut and from Chutz La'aretz. Farther along in Jewish history. If it's random, then it's a no. It should be jumping out. What's another instance where we go outside of the context of Klal Yisrael and into the borders of into the boundaries of Galut? In a good way, they didn't draw forth they were supposed to. Somewhere between Mitzrayim and David. You're getting there. We need to get to David. How do we get to David? Roots. Roots HaMoaviyah. Where once again, the whole premise, the whole concept of the story of Roots is that we're going forth and bringing forth somebody who needs to be, she's not Jewish. She's a Moabiyah. And she needs to come into the context of Klal Yisrael in order to produce Malchut David. Malchut Beit David. There are elements that need to be drawn into Klal Yisrael, and we don't promote conversion. The story of Ruth is not a... And we learn from Ruth the fact that you're supposed to push away people who want to convert. And Naomi successfully does push away Orpah. And she goes back to her people, and Ruth fights to be a part of it, but she needs to be drawn forth, and it's dafka through her that David is produced. That the Malchus of Klal Yisrael is produced. That somehow in order to get to that final stage, there are elements that need to be drawn back in. And that's a whole nother stage. A whole nother floor of what Galut is meant to accomplish. Of the purpose of Galut. And that's a lot of food for thought. I mean, we're all sitting here in Galut at the moment. We should all be in Yerushalayim, Bezrat Hashem, here of Yaminu. But right now, we're all sitting in Galut. And hopefully, all of you will find your spouses, B'sha'at Tava Mutzlachat, either in Galut or already in Eretz Yisrael. But that also, in the process of being here, what are we drawing forth in Galut? If you are here, you're here for a reason. You're not just here for a reason, you're here for a purpose. Every place that you are, it's very possible, if not likely, and I think hashkafically it's safe to say that it's mechuyav, that it's so. In every place that you are, what are you meant to be drawing forth? We're working mostly on a text level, and I often, certainly not in these shirim, I try not to veer into more Hasidic thought. I do it, as you all know, very much so in other shirim, but I like to keep the shir in a certain space. But there's the concept of pichasidut, of drawing forth what are referred to nitzotzot hakadoshim, holy sparks from different places. You know, I'm a little bit free, what's it called, when you're just flowing in your stream of consciousness, because I'm a little bit overtired with everything that's going on in my personal life. But I was in the hospital this Shabbos. I stayed in the hospital this past Shabbos to be with Shoshana. And I wasn't sure what to do. It was a very long walk back from the hospital. It would have been an hour walk to go daven mincha and have sedash and mariv. And I wasn't sure it was the right call. It was also going to snow, and I didn't want to get stuck in any particular situation and be too far away. And I also wanted, Shoshana was really enjoying my company because it's really boring to be sitting in a hospital for what will hopefully be months. It's frightening to even think about, right? Only be months. So I was like, you know what? Like, I really should be here. I really need to stay. And she had requested for me a Biker Cholim room, which I didn't stay in because we didn't know what the deal with the room was. I could have been sharing the room with other people, and I don't do people. So certainly not random people I don't know. Sleeping in the same room with them is not going to happen. But I was like, you know what? For future reference, I wanted to know what it was like. And so I was like, you know what? Two for one. I'm going to go see if I can find the Biker Cholim room. I'll daven mincha there while I'm there anyway, where it's nice and quiet and there aren't people running in and out. And then I'll come back and we'll have Sudashi together and then Shabbos together. And I was actually thinking about this concept. I was in this, where I am mentally, that I was able to prepare shir in advance since Shabbos. I hadn't prepared the shir yet. I wasn't like thinking about the shir at the time. But because this is a concept that I find very near and dear to me, that it also comes from Chassidut in terms of what the impact that you have where you are, and what we're saying here in terms of what are you drawing forth on the most literal level in terms of what we're talking about, but maybe on the more metaphysical level in terms of what I'm hinting to. You know, when I went there and I found this Biker Cholim room, first of all, it just, you know, it's funny, depending on what stage of life you're at, you see things differently. It was like this wonderful little oasis. I was really moved to tears, the tremendous chesed that you see in the world. You know, like, you should never know from it, but like, you know, to walk in and see that there was this building which had apartments on the second floor and that was connected to this hospital inside of an eruv that was just built, that basically is, it's, I'm not going to say that it's, you know, that it's a hotel room. But Kilu, it's a motel room. You know, it was very nice with a couple of beds and a Shabbos lamp and, you know, the lights that'll still be Yotzei for Shabbos if you're not allowed to light fire in a certain place and just enough to but it was very nice. And I sat there first for 5 minutes just like being like, wow, look at what's created here. Look at what's created here. This little oasis for somebody who needs it when they're in a time of crisis, to have a place to sleep where they're comfortable, where they're able to just have basic necessities of a little mini fridge and kilu, so luckily acceptable, but it still pains my soul. Like kilu nerot Shabbat and a Shabbos lamp and a bathroom and just a place to put your stuff. And then I sat there, and as I began to start davening mincha, close to the, you know, as Shkia was about to come in, I thought to myself, like, again, maybe this is me making myself feel better, but I think this is famous of what Torah is trying to say, and I think it is very much connected to what we're talking about. This isn't just stream of consciousness. A little bit, but not just. As I was sitting there, and I was like, I'm here for a reason. And for some reason, in this spot, something holy needed to be brought out through the context of Davin Mincha here. Do I feel terrible inside because I Davin Mincha 3 times a day, every day in a minyan? Yes. I've missed minyan 6 times since Jana went to the hospital. Missed davening in the context of minyan 6 times since she went to the hospital. And I try to minimize it every single day. And it's in the schus of a lot of your help, by the way, in the, all of you sit and stay in the house so I can go. But I try to daven every single day in the minyan. But I was sitting there, I was like, okay, it wasn't meant to be. I was not meant to walk an hour. I'm staying here to support Shoshana. I was meant to daven here. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me here. And for some reason, I'm meant to bring out here Tefillat Mincha B'Shabbos. And have an impact on this space, the Kedusha of this space, to create a reality of Kedusha in this space through tefillah. It's a way of thinking, not as a way to validate doing something wrong, not saying it's better than davening with a minyan. But if you're there for a reason. And that was what went through my mind. And it's something which I constantly go back to all the time when I found myself in totally random places doing random things in the realm of Avodas Hashem. And it's a powerful concept. So you're not into chassidut and the nitzot of kedusha and all of this stuff and the spiritual energy that's coming out in the context of saying mincha in the middle of a random bikur cholim room by a hospital. So come back to Yaakov Avinu. So you know what? When you think of what is the classic answer of what should a guy be doing? Obviously, with the free time, what should a guy be doing? Obvious. Come on, you're all not married. There's only one obvious answer. Louder. Learn Torah. And Ein Achinami. Yaakov Avinu sat in Kolel for 17 years before he went out to Haran. He needed to know what he was talking about before he went into the real world. He needed to have a basis and a foundation of Torah. But then he goes out into the world and has to deal with the realities of life. Let's go with wife. In reality of our modern day life, it's in singular. But for him, wives. 2 wives and 2 shvachot. Right? 4 wives. 12 kids. And then the realities of going out into the workplace and earning a living. But it's not just earning a living. If it was just him being able to make ends meet and earn enough money in order to put food on the table for his family, the Torah wouldn't bother us with that. Who cares? Who cares? You know who also ate? Avraham. You know who also ate? Yitzchak. Of course they were all had money and they were all eating food. And they were all putting a tent over their heads. They were all doing that. But what this is saying, and that's the point of this shiur, what this is saying is that no, there's a reality of galut, where there's a purpose in galut in drawing out things from galut. And not just, this isn't a way to validate Jews going forth and amassing lots and lots of money. But it means that when we're in galut, we're meant to be thinking very carefully about what is our purpose of being here? What are we trying to draw forth? And for what purpose? Because Yaakov Avinu was going to take all of the things that he drew out of Lavan and all the evils that we talked about of Lavan in the last shiur and bring it forth and put it into the context of Avodas Hashem. You're all going to have professions. You all answered the other question correctly. Hopefully, likely, most of your husbands will also have professions. Right? I suspect most of you will not be marrying Kolobniks. Nothing wrong if you do. You probably won't be. They're going to be having professions. You're going to be having professions. When you're out there working, think about what you're doing. Am I sitting there at a desk job because I need to put money in the bank account? Or am I accomplishing something in the context of drawing forth things from galut, conversations with other people in the workplace, things that I'm producing through my work, people that I'm impacting through my work, people that I'm drawing closer to Judaism and creating context for mitzvot? When I go and offer food and give people an opportunity to make a bracha. When I put up an Asher Yatzer sign outside of the door, and if it's a workspace that would allow me to do such a thing. When I create the possibility for chesed. When somebody's in a situation like mine and there's a coworker, you say, can I bring you a meal to your house because I know that you're in a tough time, I'd love to make you a meal. What are we drawing forth? What is the tov that we're drawing forth from Golus? Because that's part of the purpose of Golus as well. And Yaakov is showing us the lengths that he goes to do that. All of the... I'm trying to find the right word. Can't find the right word. The words that I have are all have a negative connotation. There's no negative connotation by Yaakov. But all of the ways that he manipulates things in order to draw forth, and the way that Kadosh Baruch Hu teaches him how to do it, how to draw forth the sheep of Lavan, to draw forth what he needs to draw forth from Galut in order to bring it back with him to Eretz Yisrael. To draw back that Tov and bring it with him to a context of Geula. Bezrat Hashem, we should be able to internalize this aspect of the lessons of Parshat Vayetze. Again, Parshat Vayetze, the Parsha of the Yitzi'ah, the Parsha that defines what it means to go out to the context of Galut. Internalize the messages of going out to build a family, what it means to build a family and build Avbin relationships, to build eternal realities in the context of Klal Yisrael. To combat, which we will continue to talk about over the course of the coming Shirin, combat the machloket and the sneskinim within Klal Yisrael, between those avanim, and also in our lives, very practically speaking, in every moment, whether in college, grad school, and certainly when we're out in the workforce, based on Yaakov Avinu, to draw forth the tov of Galut in order to bring it back to a state of Geula, and Bezrat Hashem to bring it back with us, very literally, to Eretz Yisrael in times of Mashiach, Mehera B'Aminu.